good morning. No, it's not morning anymore, is it? I didn't have my nap today. I got to build Mother's Day cards with some of the children. That was a nice event. I got leftover birthday cake from Mark. For those of you who don't know, Mark turned 40. Sunday nights, we've been looking at the gospel. And we will continue this evening with the gospel of God. In Romans 1:1, actually I've got here 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel of God, or good news. Have any of you heard any good news lately? Some have. Now what about if you look at the newspaper, watch the news at night? You don't get much good news from those sources, do you? But there is good news out there, if we look for it and seek it. Well, I'm going to tell you about some good news tonight. We have the best news available. The good news about the gospel of God. Or if you prefer, the good news of God, which is what gospel means. And I can think of no better news for a secular society or a scientific society, with which we claim to have here in America, that there is a God. Because what is secular society or a scientific society without God? The Apostle Paul uses the expression the gospel of God particularly in his letters to the churches in Rome, Corinth, and Thessalonica. Think about that a second. Do you think, is there anything special about why Paul might call it the gospel of God to these three cities? These three cities were the centers of pagan religion. And yes, they had many, many gods. Unlike Jerusalem, where the ideal of God through the Jews was more than available, or even those cities where lots of Jews lived and their influence upon Gentile society was seeable. In these three cities, we are talking about cities where the gods ruled society. Their gods were made of silver and gold. I like the way the prophets talked about them. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. They have mouths and throats, but they can't speak. They've got feet, but Philip, they can't walk. Is that not different from the God of the Bible? He has ears that can hear. He has feet that can follow us wherever we go. Remember this morning, God promised to be with us to the end of this age. And so Paul described the God, the gospel of God to these people because they were the ones who needed to know about God, the one true God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says, people everywhere are telling about the way you accepted us when we were with you. They tell how you stopped worshiping idols and began serving the living and true God. Paul said, I think Paul's saying this because the Jews are amazed. But the Gentiles, particularly those of Rome and Thessalonica, would be willing to accept the gospel of the one true God. And so it has been spread around. And to people who don't know or believe in God, is there a point in talking to them about grace? Or about salvation? Or about the church? Or repentance? Or baptism? For that matter, is there any use talking to them about moral responsibility? Or family values? Or righteousness and godliness? Because foundational to all of these thoughts is the concept of God. They must be willing and wanting to believe that there is a true God who created all of mankind. I'm going to read to you a segment of the book of Romans. It's a longer segment, so if you have your Bibles, please follow along. It's Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 18 through 32, so a big piece. So please, if you have your Bibles and are able, please open them to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. God's anger is shown from heaven against all the evil and wrong things people do. By their own evil lives, they hide the truth. God shows His anger because some knowledge of Him has been made clear to them. Yes, God has shown Himself to them. There are things about Him that people cannot see, His eternal power and all the things that make Him God. But since the beginning of the world, those things have been easy to understand by what God has made. So people have no excuse for the bad things they do. They knew God, but they did not give glory to God or thank Him. Their thinking became useless. Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. They said they were wise, but they became fools. They traded the glory of God who lives forever for the worship of idols made to look like earthly people, birds, animals, and snakes. Now let's listen to what happens to people who have forgotten or don't believe in God. Because they did these things, God left them and let them go their sinful way, wanting to do evil. As a result, they became full of sexual sin, using their bodies wrongly with each other. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshipped and served what had been created instead of the God who created those things, who should be praised forever. Amen. Because people did those things, God left them and let them do the shameful things they want to do. Women stopped having natural sex and started having sex with other women. In the same way, men stopped having natural sex and began wanting each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and in their bodies they received the punishment for those wrongs. People did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God, so God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking and do things they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, selfishness, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst things about each other. They gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude and conceited and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They do not obey their parents. Did you hear that, young ones? They did not obey their parents. They are foolish. They do not keep their promises. They show no kindness or mercy to others. They know God's law says that those who live like this should die, but they themselves not only continue to do these evil things, they applaud others who do them. Does that sound like anything you've heard recently on the news? You know, I think even these national news magazines, Time, and I can't even think, Newsweek, I don't even read them anymore, usually have one of these topics every time they come out. Isn't that amazing? What we called the sexual revolution. Some of you might even remember that time. But what they taught and what they did has come to fruition in our society. It has affected how we think on marriage. It has affected the family. It has affected human sexuality, childbearing. It has affected our education and healthcare system. It's affected our worth ethic, our morality, and even the Christian religion. It could have never have happened if the people had not liberated themselves from the knowledge of God. God speaks too plainly in His Word about such lustful passions as incest, pedophilia, homosexuality, and lesbianism, plus fornication and adultery, for it to be tolerated in public forum today. Go and try to bring biblical thoughts about these topics in public forum, and I don't know what's going to happen. And maybe even threatened with lawsuit for preaching and teaching hate. Freedom from God has fueled an out-of-control plague of sexually transmitted diseases. Don't believe me? Go to the encyclopedia. And what about that killer that we know as AIDS? How are these transmitted? There is also an epidemic of illegitimacy with all of its inherent evils and violence and crime, poverty and illiteracy. When we eliminated God from our education system, what replaced Him? Gangs, guns, drugs, such wonderful things to replace the God of love. Do we feel safe to let our children even go to schools nowadays? When I read about an elementary school, or was it a middle school there in Sanford, where children had planned to pull off a shooting until they were caught? Or what about an elementary school where a child brought, it was unloaded, but brought a real gun into the school? And he said, I thought it was a toy. I mean, what parents keep an unloaded gun just laying around where a child can get it? But do we even feel safe in our own homes? I've read in the newspaper stories of people in their own homes where they were broken into and robbed and beaten up and the wives raped. Without God, human life is not sacred. We can kill 1.5 million babies a year, unwanted babies, without batting an eye. I'm afraid even us in the church kind of just turn our heads and ignore it, don't we? All because pro-choice is a politically correct thing at the moment. You see, without God, these babies don't enjoy the dignity and protection of human life. Fear, violence, and crime are an accepted way of life in our society. When we forsake God and His teaching, we abandon such principles as accountability, honor, self-esteem, personal responsibility, and mutual respect. If this were not true, our nation would not be in the trouble it's in right now. Striving to free ourselves from all restraints, we have walked blindly into bondage. Bondage of violence and a slavery to fear. And if our nation does not wake up, we will end up, as all nations end up, who have forgotten and who have ignored the Lord of heaven. But remember, the sermon is about good news, not about bad news. We get enough of that, don't we? But there is good news for us. There is good news for America. There is good news for the world. If ungodliness and unrighteousness develops because we have ignored the God of heaven, what must we do? We must learn about the God of heaven. We must preach and teach the God of heaven to wake up our nation spiritually. Do we want to revive America? We have to revive the Plymouth Church and then revive our neighborhoods and then the state and then the nation. That is our responsibility, to teach people about God. The way out is to teach the teachings of God. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the Lord, the sovereign ruler of the universe. He is the God of glory in a world of dishonor and shame. He is the God of love for a world entrenched in hatred and in bigotry. He is the God of peace for a nation rent asunder with murder and violence. He is the God of comfort for people who are suffering from the injustice of our evil system. He is the God of hope for multitudes who have lost hope and are despondent. He is the God of grace for those people who have stubbornly rejected His word. He is the God of truth for a nation that has given up the truth and believed the lie. He is the God of judgment for the wicked and the rebellious. He is the God of recompense to the lawless and the criminal. He is the God of salvation for those who come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not a burden. God is a burden bearer to our society. God does make a difference in our lives. He makes a difference in our communities. He can make a difference in the world. God gives us the important answers to important questions. Where do we come from? Why are we here? What is our purpose in life? God gives us purpose. He gives us our identity of who and what we are as men and women. He gives us light in a world that is steeped in darkness. The presence of God means light. The presence of God means good news. His way of life revealed to us in the Bible is the best possible type of life for human beings to live. It gives us joy and hope and happiness. God is needed in our world. And God reveals His message in the Bible. There are many people who knock the Bible. I bet you they've never opened the pages to see what it even says. Don't knock the Bible until you have read it. Violence and crime, we are taught, is the result of poverty and illiteracy. But I tell you, it's not true. Violence and crime is the result of the absence of God in our society. No God, violence and crime. And along with that, illiteracy and poverty. But what good is accomplished by merely believing? It is time for us as believers to say, enough is enough. We can never change the world by going along, can we? They've got a saying in Germany. I'm trying to remember how to translate this properly into English. Dead fish Don't swim against the stream. That doesn't translate quite so good. Which way does the dead fish go? Only one who's alive and vibrant can swim upstream. That is what God wants of us as Christians. Be alive, be vibrant for Jesus Christ. We have to fight against society and not go along with it. If we ever wish to make changes in our world, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. We must renew our effort here at Plymouth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that to every person in Apopka, every person in America, every person in this world. And believe me, we have the means. Look at the influence that internet has on small children. My son knows how to use that better than I do. He knows how to find all the game sites and all these types of things. Just think, I don't know, Mark, how many people hit upon our website just here at Plymouth? You have an idea? 30,000 since the beginning, or think about that. 30,000 people have entered into Plymouth's website. What kind of an influence could we have if we used the internet in a way that could teach the ways of Jesus? We have mail outs that can be mailed to areas where we can no longer door knock. And door knocking can be dangerous in our modern world, can't it? But God has given us ways to teach the gospel that were impossible in the days of Paul. I can just imagine Paul would be all over the internet and the airways, radio and television. But that is our duty. Our duty to God is to take the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom, to a world filled with hatred, a world full of evilness and unrighteousness, and bring people one by one to the Lord's way. A better world begins with us here at Plymouth. I can do nothing about the other churches in other parts of the world, but we at Plymouth can make a change. Are you a faithful Christian involved with God in this great conflict of evil? And it is. We are at war, not against terrorism. We are at war with Satan. We are at war with the unseen world of evil. And we have been called to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. To fight the good fight, as Paul put it. Are you a faithful Christian? Are you involved with God in the great conflict against evil? If not, why not confess the name of Jesus this evening? Why not turn your life around in repentance and be baptized, washing away your sins? Then give your life as a life of righteousness and godliness to influence your neighborhood, your school, your job place. Remember, righteousness only means doing right. Right according to God the Creator. Come and wash away your sins in baptism and join the saints at Plymouth in our war against Satan here in Apopka. Come and make a difference as we stand and sing.